Muse from the Borderland. This is EPAS Unleashed. Hi, everyone. Welcome to EPAS Unleashed. I'm your host, Jessica Navarro, and we have two very special guests here joining us for our new episode. Thank you all for being here. You all are from the Empowerment Project. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Of course. So my name is Annabelle. I am the Primary Prevention Facilitator, and we are part of the Empowerment Project, which is from the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence. So it's our local campaign that we call the Empowerment Project, and we don't misspell it on accident. Mm-hmm. It's misspelled on purpose. So the way we spell it is E-M-P-O-U-R-M-E-N-T. So we want to emphasize the hour in empowerment just to kind of emphasize the work that we do. So what we do is we work with the community, and it's our community, and it's not, you know, an individual effort to prevent sexual violence. It's a collaborative effort, and it takes a whole community to kind of prevent that.
Yeah.
So I'm the facilitator, and
and I am Marissa Delgado. I'm the program coordinator for primary prevention at the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence, or CASFB. But so our agency has existed for 46 years.
Oh, wow.
In the community, serving El Paso County, Husband County, and Culberson County. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people only become aware of our agency after interventions needed.
Yes.
For domestic violence or sexual assault. Our goal with the Empowerment Project, so Annabelle and I are in charge of prevention within mm-hmm. these three counties. So we're a two-person team. Very strong. We're out in the community just basically trying to prevent sexual violence from occurring.
Yeah. And can we talk a little bit about what is abuse? Because I feel like sometimes people don't really, you know exactly. They question themselves. So if we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So abuse is any type of action that leads to mistreatment. Mm-hmm. That harms an individual, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, psychological, sexual. Mm-hmm. Those are all capacities of abuse. It could be digital, it could be financial. Mm-hmm. We just see these different dynamics that exist, and it's basically just instilling a fear, mm-hmm. Power and control over an individual to get them to pretty much do anything against like their own mm-hmm. will, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of controls them
in yeah.
any aspect.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there is a lot of family violence, unfortunately. Can we talk a little bit about what is family violence?
So family violence, it's like, you know, involves the abuse. It's that power and control. And family violence, it's kind of not just focused on the relationship aspect, right? It's the whole family aspect where mm-hmm. Anyone within a household can be abused. They can be either not just the physical, right? And everyone kind of thinks of the physical immediately, mm-hmm. but they don't realize that there's also that financial aspect. There's mm-hmm. that manipulation, the gaslighting, mm-hmm. the verbal. There's different types of aspects that mm-hmm. tie into abuse and family violence. Even just like children too, who are kind of not directly maybe the victim of like physical abuse, but they mm-hmm. see the physical abuse be occurring between the parents.
Yeah.
And that's that indirect, like, psychological effect of, you know, having that abuse be right in their face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, all these different aspects kind of come together. Yeah.
Also, it's important to note with family violence, so there's domestic violence and then there's family violence, and mm-hmm. they pretty much are coinciding with the same thing.
Yeah.
But recently, I didn't know this until I started working for the agency. My misconception with domestic violence was, oh, it's usually like spouse.
Yeah.
But it's not. It could be any type of individuals that are living under one house.
Oh, wow.
So it could be roommates against roommates,
okay.
siblings against siblings, siblings against parent, mm-hmm. child against parent.
Mm-hmm.
Any type of domestic type of dwelling that is mm-hmm. involved, that's what domestic violence is.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from intimate partner violence.
Mm-hmm.
Intimate partner violence is more of individuals who are dating
mm-hmm.
who are not living in the same the same residence.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know that at all. I learned something. I'm sure a lot of people. Yes. And of course, a lot of people, maybe they might have that misconception that it might not happen to certain people. So, but it can happen to anyone.
Yeah. It doesn't discriminate against age, sex, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, class status, mm-hmm. Immigration status. Mm-hmm. It can affect anybody in any capacity, even being the child who grew up with the effects of domestic violence and now navigating life.
Yeah.
You know, and understanding what relationships are and trying to break any type of cycle that you may have seen growing up or what your perception was of a relationship. Mm-hmm. It affects everybody in some capacity. Mm-hmm. There's just so much that goes into it aside mm-hmm. from like physical abuse. Mm-hmm. Like Annabelle was saying, there's like the gaslighting that occurs, the manipulation, any type of coercion. Mm-hmm. It's a vast amount of things that can occur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure that there are some listeners, they're probably wondering, like, what does this have to do with animals? I'm here to learn about animals and our organization. But there is a link between cruelty to animals and violence towards humans. Can we speak a little bit about that?
Yeah.
So, it is true. A lot of people don't really see the correlation. Mm-hmm. They just kind of see, like, oh, well, it's just... You know, it's only violence towards the pet, right?
Yeah.
But they don't realize that there's that correlation with the abuse of animals and the actual domestic violence that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if someone is really able to like have that mindset of, well, I can harm an animal mm-hmm. and there's no consequences, or I can harm an animal and there's no effect on that animal.
Mm-hmm.
Who's to say what their mindset is when it comes to humans, right? When they have that mindset of like, you know, it doesn't really matter, what I'm doing is not really harmful.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of affects, you know, their future actions towards other people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like actual threatened animal abuse can be a way for an abuser to silence their victim,
mm-hmm.
To manipulate them.
Yeah.
Just having that hold, I mean, I know that I'm a big dog lover. I'm a big animal lover. I love my babies, my fur babies. So I'm pretty sure anybody who knows me would be able to, like, use that as leverage to get me to do
something.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like, there are cases where that happens, right? Mm-hmm. Or even animals are used as a scapegoat, mm-hmm. right? Maybe I'm not hitting my partner mm-hmm. or hitting my child mm-hmm. or...
taking it out on animal instead.
Mm-hmm.
In any type of capacity, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to just be a physical aspect. Annabelle and I were actually talking about it this morning, like the coercion and manipulation that occur even with just like a simple breakup, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say that there's two partners who are dating, they didn't live together, just had a breakup over something,
mm-hmm.
and maybe had a dog together, mm-hmm. right? That pet became fond of maybe one human over the other, or there's a special bond and connection over one. And the other partner using that as a means of getting back at mm-hmm. the person. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to take Rufus away from you, right? Like, just using that as a means of controlling the situation and kind of getting their revenge
mm-hmm.
for what happened. Yeah. So, it's like this type of objectification, right? That's what we were saying earlier.
Yeah.
Where... it's really like coincides with like in terms of like sexual violence too.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about sexual violence, of course, there's this objectification that occurs
mm-hmm.
where women and just sexual violence occurs to anybody. It could be men, women, children, anybody. And when it happens for women, it's usually often seen as like women are something to be desired.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're a means of sexual attraction, sexual gratification. And when that occurs, it's like animals are used as an object. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So any type of emotion that they have mm-hmm. goes out the window. And it's the same thing with female survivors, women mm-hmm. survivors of sexual assault or domestic violence, where mm-hmm. any type of personification that they had out the window, and they're just an object.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, animal cruelty, you would say, is a predictor of human violence.
Yeah, very much. Mm-hmm. And another thing too is that, like, so with physical violence, there's two types, right? Yeah. So there's that direct, which is the physical punching, mm-hmm. hitting, scratching, like mm-hmm. things that you can see, the bruises you can see.
Yeah.
And then there's the indirect physical abuse, which is the intimidation, right? The mm-hmm. punching holes in the walls, yeah. slamming doors, mm-hmm. you know, kicking the couch, throwing a phone across the room.
Yeah.
And abusing animals is another form of indirect physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So when you notice that someone is physically abusing a dog or a cat or some type of animal, you know that there's a reason that that's happening. And, you know, that could be just that form of indirect violence. But, yeah, so that could be a predictor of domestic violence.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why it's so important to report if they see any animal cruelty happening, because it, like you said, it could be something more. A lot of times we see that people will, I just want to mind my own business, like yeah. they're hitting that dog or whatever, and that's that. But we do see that there might be even more that's happening in the home, or you know, and reporting it is just, it's very crucial to the family.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Like, minimizing it to, oh, it's mm-hmm. just the dog, or it's just yeah. the cat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, minimization is something that we hear all the time where we work. Mm-hmm. So, fun fact, where we work, we actually are located with the intervention side of the house as well.
Okay.
So, with intervention, that's the Batter Intervention Prevention Program,
mm-hmm.
or BIP. And that is for aggressors in mm-hmm. situations. So they're court ordered or self-referred, mm-hmm. and they go and take this program, which is about 18 to 24 courses.
Okay.
And they just learn about healthy relationship dynamics starting from the bottom. Mm-hmm. And what they're instilled is accountability,
mm-hmm.
and taking accountability for the actions that they cause, like what, why they're there and all these mm-hmm. things, right? But there's a minimization that exists to where even in rhetoric, we hear things like boys will be boys.
Oh, yeah.
Or don't be a girl.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the same thing as saying, oh, it's just a dog. It's mm-hmm. just a cat.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's something that has feelings. It's mm-hmm. an animal. It's something that deserves to be respected.
Yeah.
So regardless if it's human or not, like, that's still something. That's still a life.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's something that me, whenever I'm in schools or whenever I'm doing any kind of teaching, I want, you know, my students to understand that this is a living being. You know, you can't treat them that way. They have emotions just like we do. And, you know, we even do little consent tests with our dogs and our cats. And that's yeah. something that we teach. And I find that some students are like, they'll snicker and laugh at the little, oh, consent, like, you know, like, yeah, what does yeah. that mean? Yeah. But I think it's so important to have all these resources and understand that, like you said, don't make it less than what it is. It's just yeah. because it's not, you know, a human. It is still a living being. So, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And what other community engagement and educations do you all offer?
So we go out into the community. We have a lot of collaborations. Mm-hmm. Actually, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Yes.
So throughout that month, we were out in the community building that preventative type of awareness where people, one, knew that October meant that.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is mostly to just get everybody in the community to understand what sexual violence is and mm-hmm. what's causing it and how can we stop it.
Yeah,
because it can't just stop with Annabelle and I. It's mm-hmm. not just going to stop with our agency. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not going to stop in this room
yeah.
just with us. It's a whole wide community effort, which is where that hour and empowerment comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that with this, like, it is something that's important. And even though we come from, like, a cultural background where maybe it's taboo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about domestic violence, talking about mm-hmm. sexual violence. But knowing that it exists, I mean, obviously we have jobs for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I hope to one day not have a job doing mm-hmm. this, because then that would mean that my job was done.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
And it's just important to do that. But we had a lot of small businesses that we collaborated with. We had like Weirdo's Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
Amber's Coffee. Amber's Coffee and Horizon, Love Alumni Boutique, which is a mobile boutique bus.
Mm-hmm.
Bohoma Scent Co., which like, they do like candles and any type of like fresheners.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're building that rapport with the community. A big thing that we have a goal to do is to get more involved in nightlife.
Mm-hmm.
So, fun fact, another fun fact, El Paso's median age range is 34.
Oh,
so our two most populous groups are the 15 to 19 demographic and the 20 to 24 demographic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a stronghold within this city.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that nightlife is really popular.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, violence can occur
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
people are under inhibitions of mm-hmm. of alcohol or any type of other substance.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal right now is to just build rapport with the nightlife community here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically like what our job is, to mm-hmm. just build community and let people know that one, they're not alone if they are a survivor, how to be there for survivors, and letting survivors know that, you know, the community has their back.
It's mm-hmm. great. It's like amazing work that you guys are doing.
Thank you.
And of course, we kind of spoke about this before, but I do have a new program that I'm starting up here called No More Bullying. With I went to Kansas City to learn about it with the Wayside Waves, and you know, this program is to help the youth understand that bullying. Why would you bully a pet or any kind of animal? If you're not gonna bully a pet, why would you bully, you know, a human? And I think that is really important too. And I feel like we can definitely partner up and with this program, have you all come and speak about all these different you know, topics, because it's definitely needed here. But of course, if somebody does see any of this happening, or if it is happening to them, how can they help, or how do they seek help?
So within our agency, we have a helpline number.
Mm-hmm.
And that number is a number you can call in case, you know, either if they know someone or mm-hmm. it is them,
mm-hmm.
If they're ever in a situation where they kind of feel like maybe this is not the healthy environment that I'm in, maybe this relationship that I'm in is not very healthy,
mm-hmm.
They can call the number and they can either create like a safety plan, whether they're unsafe at the home. They help them create that safety plan in order to leave that household and either get shelter or, you know, just get out of the house, right? That's always mm-hmm. the first step. And the number is 915-593-7300.
Okay.
And even if they are also a survivor of sexual violence, they're also able to call that number. If they need hospital companionment, they're able to receive that as well. So if they need to get any tests done at the hospital and there's an advocate that goes with them and they provide them any services that they may need, anything like that. Maybe they need therapy or a support group, any advocacy. Mm-hmm. They provide that as well. But yeah, so if anyone ever knows someone, right, they can always provide that number as well, or even just the information of our agency. A lot of the times people don't know that our agency even exists.
Yeah.
So it's just being an active bystander, and when they know something that's happening, they're able to be active and say, hey, you know what, like, I know this place that you can get more information on and get the help that you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm just gonna add, it's not just for women and children.
Mm-hmm.
Our shelter actually accepts men, women, and children. And the men don't have to have children with them.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Oftentimes that stigma exists too, where yes. it's a women's issue, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's like the battered women's shelter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it's like, this is the Center Against Sexual and Family Violence, and we're here to serve everybody. That number is available 24/7, 365, mm-hmm. English and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trained advocate, like Annabelle said, to answer the call. Even if it's somebody who's calling for somebody else,
mm-hmm.
how do I talk to this person and provide them support?
Yeah.
We can talk you through that as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a number that is useful, not just for
mm-hmm.
when you need shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, there might be people that don't, maybe they're questioning and they don't know, and so they can ask and get to
to know, like, is this something that, you know, might not be healthy? Mm-hmm. So I think that's amazing that you guys have that available for our community.
Even aside from the violent aspect of it, or mm-hmm. with domestic violence and sexual violence, even if somebody's being stalked, mm-hmm. maybe harassed, mm-hmm. There's teen dating violence going on. Mm-hmm. Youth can call this number as well if they need mm-hmm. assistance. And we have a lot of community partnerships with the county DA, mm-hmm. Where if a protective order is needed, that can mm-hmm. be done. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, this is a really useful tool to have.
Definitely. I mean, definitely. I learned so much just visiting your Instagram page. I learned so much, and, you know, everything that you guys have, it's amazing. Thank you. And I hope that people really do listen to this podcast and they learn, and hopefully, you know, I hope that they never really need to call you all, but if they do, they have all the resources that they need. Is there anything else that you guys would like to add?
Emily, thank you for having us. This is, like, very cool. Yeah. We have a podcast of our own, so being a guest on the podcast is really cool.
Yes, definitely. If you want to drop your podcast name so that hopefully people can listen and learn more.
Yes. So our podcast name is La Voz de la Gente. It's on Spotify. And yeah, it's kind of new, but mm-hmm. we go over a lot of different topics, like mm-hmm. Kind of talk about pop culture, what's happening mm-hmm. Like this week, and we kind of talk about it, we analyze it, like, is this really healthy, is this you know is this kind of unhealthy, and so just different mm-hmm. things like that we kind of talk about.
Okay, awesome. Definitely, I mean, go check it out. I love it. I was listening like before we started the podcast, I started listening in and kind of getting a feel of who you all are. And like I said, you're doing amazing work. Thank you all for taking time to come out to us and record this episode. We really appreciate it. And we hope that this partnership, you know, grows, and hopefully we can stop any violence for, you know, all. That's the goal.
Yeah, definitely, right? I'm like, if one person leaves with some type of knowledge, I'm like, that's great.
That's what I always say. If I change one. Yeah, exactly. But no, thank you all so much for coming out. Thank you all for listening. And we hope that you enjoy. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. And we'll see you next time.